Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought and all that, indeed. Watching TV, I saw Mike Pence land at the airport out in Aspen. He got off the plane, and he's glad-handing the crowd, and some woman handed him a baby. The old politician with the baby, yeah. Anyway, he took the kid, and the kid immediately started screaming and crying and reaching for its mom, which I thought is emblematic of how it should be. People shouldn't be relying on the likes of Mike Pence to take care of their children. They should be eager to take care of their own children. But well, as you'll see as we get into the news today, people are more than willing to hand their kids over, and it's just really sad. But let's start with the fact that, well, we almost lost a city on Thursday. That's right, we almost lost a city. How, you say? Well, because an asteroid traveling at 15 miles per second whizzed close to the Earth, about 43,000 miles from the Earth. Just barely missed us. Yes, and they say it's maybe 300 feet in diameter or so. Which seems kind of small, unless you think about a rock that's 300 feet in diameter, that's going 15 miles per second. Then that's a lot. Anyway, they didn't see it coming. They didn't see it coming, and they say it's one of the closest approaches to Earth by an asteroid that we've ever seen or heard of or even know of, which is a little scary. The story here from the New York Post says they typically try to track these asteroids a little further in advance, but this one, they couldn't pick it up because it was traveling from the direction of the sun. And they don't explain why that makes a difference, but I suppose it does. Anyway, they say the impact would have had over 30 times the energy of the atomic blast at Hiroshima. Yeah, 30 times the atomic. They call it a city killer asteroid. Yeah. What's that now?
Where was it going to hit?
It wasn't going to hit anywhere. It whizzed past. They say if it would have hit a city, it would have destroyed the city.
What city they don't know.
Well, the thing is, the chances are it wouldn't have hit a city, though. More than likely, it would have landed in the water, most likely.
Yeah, so this is the kind of...
Most likely, if it would have released its 30 times the energy of the atomic blast at Hiroshima. Yeah, it would have happened. It would have been in the water, more than likely. Yeah. But anyway, asteroids are dangerous, though. I truly believe that asteroids are dangerous, just like earthquakes. And the fact that the whole universe seems to be relatively unstable. Relatively unstable.
They need to have the sign,
yeah.
Right?
They need to have a sign, falling rocks. Right, right? Like they have out there on the one side of Glenwood Canyon. You drive in there, it says, caution, falling rocks. Okay, not sure what I'm supposed to do, but now I'm nervous. I always get nervous driving in Colorado Rocky Mountains because those rocks actually do fall on cars sometimes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And it's not like we didn't warn you. We put up a sign. They need to put that sign up over the earth. Caution, falling rocks. Yeah. And so think about it, a 15 billion year old universe and there's still rocks flying around out there. What are the odds that that could be possibly true? It's impossible to even calculate those odds. It's so ridiculous. All right. Meanwhile, we go from asteroids. We go to India. A very disturbing story. This comes to us from the Personhood File. There's a certain district in northern India that shows that none of the 216 children born across 132 villages over the past 3 months... none of those children were girls. Authorities are pointing toward widespread female feticide, is what they call it. So in India, having a son is considered good because he can work. Having a daughter is considered bad because apparently the family has to put up the money for the dowry at the time of the wedding. I never have understood that. I've never understood that rule or that custom that the parents of the bride should have to come up with money. That's ridiculous. It's the guy that's making out like a bandit. His family should have to pay for everything. So, in fact, I have three daughters, and I'll just hold them back. I'll say, no, we're not going to let this go forward unless you pay. Because you're the one making out on this deal. You're getting over. Anyway, but in India, there's widespread murder of baby girls. The last population census in India found that there were only 940 females per every 1,000 males. So that's a... Well, it's a demographic catastrophe in the making. But worse, what's worse is what's happening to the souls of the Indian people as they murder their own children just for being a girl. You would think that the left would be outraged. There would be outrage daily, rantings and ravings from feminists over the murder of innocent children. But I hear not a peep out of any of them. It's just devastating. I guess the only positive thing is that the children who are murdered, they actually go immediately into the presence of God. Have I told you people my theory on why God just doesn't destroy everything right now? Right? Because you think, how much of this can he take? I'm going to talk about some stories here in a little while that will make you wonder, why has God not just destroyed this whole thing and just gotten it over with? Well, I think it's because children. I think he has a daily influx of children that come to him, and he likes that. And he's willing to put up with an awful lot. And plus, he doesn't have to watch all the gross, disgusting stuff. He can pay attention to the children that are coming into his presence every day. And he doesn't have to pay attention to all the gross. He doesn't have to tune into CNN. He doesn't have to check the Drudge Report. No. Okay, so there's what's happening in India, the widespread... murder. Oh, by the way, India outlawed selective abortion for female fetuses in 1994.
What? It's not working?
Yeah, they outlawed it, but that seems to not be working. And the reason it's not working is, well, number one is abortion is legal in India. They just say, well, you can't do it if it's a girl, just for being a girl. And that law lacks any credibility because you've made it legal to kill some, and now you're going to try to pass rules on who we can't kill. It's just ridiculous. Murdering an innocent child should be a capital crime, and everyone involved should be subject to capital punishment. And then you would see an effective law against killing innocent people. But that's not what they have there. And so, meanwhile, here in America, Jeffrey Epstein was put on suicide watch. Does that mean we all get to watch? I'd be up for that. No? Oh, they think he may have tried to kill himself. He was found unresponsive with injuries to his neck. All right. So I guess Jeffrey Epstein thought he would be let out on bail, and when he found out he was not going to be let on bail, he got quite depressed. So they found it. They say marks on his neck appeared to be self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Epstein. All right. Well, maybe for the first time in his life, he's experiencing shame. It's possible. Maybe not, though. Maybe he's just depressed that he can't get on his plane and fly to his island and go hang out with Bubba. And so, anyway, if Jeffrey Epstein did indeed commit suicide... Well, I'm just not going to say it. I'll just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. All right. We go now to the death penalty file. We're in Midwest City, Oklahoma. Police have arrested Joshua David Cabatra. He's a 37-year-old creep. And he was busted in a McDonald's bathroom. Well... He's been arrested for raping a child in the bathroom of a McDonald's. He claimed He claimed that he was just washing his hands in the bathroom with the little girl, but that's not what the child said. The child said he assaulted her. The little girl had been at the McDonald's with a child care day trip. Anyway, this is... People think I'm paranoid. People think I'm paranoid for putting up such a tall hedge around my daughters. But when we're out at restaurants, they don't go to the bathroom alone. Somebody's there. If I'm the only one with them, I'm right outside the door. I'm right outside the door. Maybe I'm paranoid. But there, that's why. It's because creeps like this. And you know what'll happen to this creep? He will get out of jail someday. That's what's going to happen to this creep. He will be on the streets again. He will be at another McDonald's again. That's what's going to happen to that creep. And that's why I'm paranoid. Right? You're not paranoid if they're actually out there. Okay? I just got another sex offender registry notification. Do you get those or do I just get them? Anyway, so this guy's living less than 2 miles away from the grocery store where we go every other day, every week. We go to the grocery store. This guy lives within 2 miles of the grocery store. Where do you think he shops? This guy was convicted of raping a child. And he's living in my town, 2 miles from my grocery store.
They have a McDonald's.
And there's a McDonald's. That's right. There is a McDonald's. Anyway, just disgusting. All right. That's right. I'm not paranoid because they're actually out there. I'm probably just overly cautious. So anyway, let's go from there. Appropriately, we go from there to the Burn in Hell file. Now, that's another thing that's going to happen to this creep, Joshua David Kabatra, who raped a little girl in the bathroom. He's going to burn in hell. And he'll be joined there by Alyssa Milano, who we're going to cover now. Alyssa Milano shared a video this past week on social media where she cried and taught. She says, quote, "I just watched this video of a baby being reunited with her mom." The video is protesting the situation at the southern border where the illegal immigrants are rushing the border, trying to overwhelm. Well, they are overwhelming the system in a well-organized campaign. That you got so many illegals coming in that we don't know where to put them. We don't have a place to put them all. And we end up releasing them after keeping them in overcrowded facilities where things start looking pretty bad. Why? Because, well, a facility designed for 40 people has 400 people. That's going to look pretty bad. Well, she watched a video and she got on social media and started crying about how, quote, "We are destroying children's lives." And then she uses a vulgar language, of course, because she's a pig. "We are destroying children's lives because of arbitrary lines in the sand," she calls them. That's the boundaries of the nation. The boundaries of the nation, she calls arbitrary lines in the sand. So right there, she's refuting a biblical principle that the nations have boundaries. That's a biblical principle, Alyssa. Now, I'm sure she hasn't darkened the door of a church in quite some time, but she does claim to believe in God. That's right. We go back to April. Back in April, you'll remember, Georgia passed what they call the heartbeat bill, the bill that allegedly bans abortion as soon as the baby's heartbeat can be detected, sometimes as early as 6 weeks. And Alyssa Milano went ballistic. And what did she say back in April? Oh, let's see. She tried to use a verse from the Bible, as her basis for being what she calls pro-choice. Yes, there's a verse for that, you know, the pro-choice verse. It's in the book of John. She says, she quotes John 3:12. "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" And by that verse, she's justified in being a pro-abort. Makes perfect sense. She went on to say, "I love God. I believe in God. But I don't believe my personal beliefs. But I don't believe my personal beliefs, of which we can't confirm, should override scientific facts and what we can confirm. Can we try that again, ladies and gentlemen? See if you can follow this. She says, I believe in God, but I don't believe my beliefs, which can't be confirmed, should override scientific facts that we can confirm. So first of all, if you say you believe in God, Alyssa, but then in the same sentence, or the next sentence, you say that your beliefs can't be confirmed, that means you don't believe in God. Because if you believed in God in your own mind, you would have already confirmed that belief. That's what believing means. It's confirmed, Alyssa. But she can't confirm it. And then she talks about scientific facts and what we can confirm. Like what? Alyssa, the fact that at fertilization, a unique human being exists, and we can tell that through the structure of the DNA, that's a scientific fact. I wonder what scientific facts she's talking about. I don't even think she knows what scientific facts she's talking about. I don't think she can confirm or believe anything. And then she quotes John to support being a pro-abort. And you love God and you believe in God? Alyssa, you're mentally deranged, number one. And number two, you need to seek God, because you better hope he doesn't find you first. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. That one goes out to Alyssa, just for her, because she knows where she's going. All right. That was the Burn in Hell file. The debut story from the Burn in Hell file, headlined by Alyssa Milano. And now we go to the Root of All Evil file, which is a new file that is headlined this week by Bill de Blasio, communist. Bill de Blasio wrote an opinion piece at CNN. No way. He wrote an opinion piece over at CNN, mm-hmm, where he starts out, "This May I celebrated my 25th wedding anniversary with the love of my life, Charlene," which we assume is his wife, which I'm astonished that there's another human being who is able to live with Bill de Blasio on a daily basis. I mean, that should give hope to everyone out there. He says, "We met decades ago when we both worked for Mayor Dinkins. And it was love at first sight for me, though I'll admit she felt absolutely nothing at first." Such self-deprecating charm Mr. de Blasio has. She felt nothing, Bill, kind of like us after witnessing about 20 years of your political career. It's kind of an empty feeling. Well, I mean, I feel something. But I think I'll be able to choke it down. Choke it back. I think I'll be able to choke it back, Bill, and get on with the story. Now, Bill goes on. His story's about his 3K that we talked about this. Pre-kindergarten for all three-year-olds. I'll go back here to the beginning, right? When I started, I talked about the willingness of people to hand their children over to the government. I talked about that earlier. When I talked about Pence and the crying baby. As soon as Pence touched that baby, it was like, bleh, reaching back for mom. But people are just desperate to hand over their children. De Blasio says he started this 3K for all, he calls it. 3K for all. And he says, The reason he started, he says, is because the success of young people is too often based on the wealth of their family rather than their intelligence, drive, or empathy. Wow, what a deep, deep thinker to point out something so obvious to everyone. Of course the success of young people is increased, or their odds for success are increased if they come from an intact family with some money. Yeah, that's just life, Bill. But Bill says it as if it's a bad, dirty, evil, wrong thing. Right? Shouldn't there be an incentive, Bill, for parents to stay together and build wealth? Shouldn't that be a benefit? Shouldn't there be some benefits to that, Bill? No. Bill wants to even the playing field so that every crackhead out there gets access to the same things that the people who work hard every day get. That's what Bill is obsessed with. Why? Because he's a guilt-ridden liberal piece of garbage, is what he is. And he's got so much guilt over his own, the fact that he's so rich and has no skills and contributes zero to society for his entire life. He feels horrible about it. He eats at the best restaurants. He's driven around by a driver. And he's got absolutely no qualifications to have deserved any of that. So he feels horrible about himself because he's a loser and he knows it. And he wants to help other losers get limousine rides like he gets. So he says, when I became mayor, my first goal was to provide free pre-K for every child in New York City, and I did it. I did it. Now we're working to ensure that every three-year-old will have access to early childhood education. 3K for all. The crowd went wild. Hey, Bill, every three-year-old already has access to early childhood education. It's called just being alive. The three-year-olds are learning all the time, Bill. And the last thing I want to do is put my three-year-old in front of a creep like you, so you can start filling their head with anything, Bill. But the parents in New York City practically knocked each other over to hurry their kids into the government schools at 3 years old. Yeah, that's right. He says, the results have been extraordinary. Over the last 6 years, I actually don't know what his voice sounds like. I don't think I've ever heard Bill de Blasio talk. Because, I mean, he comes on the TV, it's click. I mean, he's gone. So I can't do an impression of Bill de Blasio because I don't know how he talks. All I can imagine is he sounds something like a vampire from New York City. The results have been extraordinary. Over the last 6 years, we've seen enrollment increase from 19,000 to over 70,000 children. And 94% of the programs meet or exceed a threshold that predicts positive student development outcomes. Yes. There's a threshold there, and we exceed it. 94%, right? That's good, right? Pre-K for All is also passing the test among some of its most important judges. That's right, the parents. 92% of families rated their kids' program excellent or good. And over 80% think their kids are learning a lot. That's right. They think their kids are learning a lot. And it's important for the parents to feel that way. I think we could all agree on that. And he says, you know, that's not the only reason all the parents like the program so much. That they love it because families with children enrolled in free, full-day pre-K save an average of $10,000 every year. That's getting down to the brass tacks. That's right. I want your kids. I want to educate them. I want to mold them in the image of a communist pervert creep like me. And I'm willing to give you some cash for it. And they line up down the hall, around the block. They line up to hand their three-year-old kids over to a bunch of molesters and creeps and degenerates. Bill de Blasio being the captain of the ship of fools. It's unbelievable. Get or keep your children out of the government schools, people, please. Because if you don't, they're going to end up like, well, most of the millennials I encounter anymore. Got a story here from the LA Times. about how millennials have replaced religion with astrology and crystals. Yes, younger Gen Xers are now in their 40s, says the Times. And then we go down to Generation Z, whatever that is. People younger than me, I guess. And anyway, these younger generations, not surprisingly, according to the LA Times, have turned away from traditional organized religion and are embracing more spiritual beliefs like tarot, astrology, meditation, energy healing, and crystals. What about didgeridoo? No, they left out didgeridoo. What about EDM? Isn't that a religion? Anyway, they say most millennials claim not to take any of it too seriously. So they have a religion, but they don't take it too seriously. That's the good thing about crystals, is you can just claim you are high and like, I wasn't really all that serious about that. Anyway, they say they dabble more than worship. Uh-huh. Let's see here. They interviewed a bunch of these millennials, and they say the cause behind this falling away from religion, they say there was a common theme. They were raised with one set of religious beliefs, Catholic, Jewish, etc. But as they became adults, they felt that faith didn't completely represent who they were or what they believed. Isn't that hilarious? So who you are is you're not God. And what you believe, well, it could be a whole bunch of anything. Who knows what that is? But what religion should be, if it's real, which that's probably the real theme, is most of these religions are just fake and phony. I mean, people go to temple, people go to mass, people go to the rock concert down at the evangelical church, and it's just all kind of fake and phony. But at the bottom of it, when you get down to it, there are certain standards that you have to fill. You're not supposed to lie and cheat and steal. Well, what if I want to lie and cheat and steal? This religion doesn't represent who I am or what I believe. So I'm going to hang a crystal around my neck. Very non-judgmental crystal you got hanging around your neck there. Anyway, younger people say they feel alienated by attitudes toward LGBTQ people and women. What? So, I mean, are there any churches out there, any mainline denominational churches that have any problems with the LGBTQ people? And women? What are you talking about, women? I don't understand. I think this is all just... I think the author of the article is just relying on just general stereotypes about the Christian religion, which is really what they're talking about here. They're talking about young people abandoning Christianity is what they're really talking about. Instead, they're going for something that's more what they are and what they believe. Yeah. So they say this trend is probably going to continue as younger individuals begin, quote, cooking up their own spiritual or religious stew their way. Okay. With their own meaning making. Their own meaning making and their own personal spiritualities. So is this anything new? I mean, isn't this what the Canaanites did when they found that Yahweh was cramping their style, and they went and they created a temple to Baal and filled it with prostitutes? I mean, this is the same thing, just happening over again 4,000 years later, 3,500 years later, but it's all the same thing. It's the weak religion file, that's right, because so many religious leaders are fake, phony, and willing to compromise on the fundamentals of a spiritual truth. Well, young people realize that, and they say, I might as well just get high and have a crystal around my neck. Go play my didgeridoo. Become a shaman. A Reiki master. And a shaman and a spiritual healer. All right, it's the Weekly Review. We're coming back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, yes, yes. I think the flanger was about as weird as I was willing to get. No, no didgeridoo, no didgeridoo, and no tantric shaman drums. No. I think the flanger with a little delay is about as far as I'm willing to go. Thank you very much. All right. I was checking in the break, checking the headlines, see if anything exciting and new is happening. Well, it appears that New Jersey is on the verge of committing mass suicide. Although that might not be exactly the best way to say that, but I thought it rolled off the tongue nicely. They've got a law going into effect on Thursday legalizing assisted suicide. That means help committing suicide, otherwise known as homicide. Formerly known as homicide, yes. So they are going to be, they're joining Oregon, Washington, Colorado, California, Vermont, and Hawaii on the road to hell. According to the headline, no, it was the article, the subhead said about 3,500 people have been killed so far nationwide under these new assisted suicide laws that legalize homicide. Yes, New Jersey joining... joining Colorado, it's pretty sad. So, and California, Oregon and Washington, I can completely understand that. I mean, let's just admit it, but no, it's, nobody has the right to legalize homicide, and you don't have the right to take your own life. That's not yours. It's not your decision to make, and to insist that you have that right is to put yourself in the place of God, making you Antichrist. You think you are God. It's the same sin that Lucifer committed when God changed his name to Satan, or adversary. So you make yourself an adversary of God, then you take a pill, and then boom, you meet him right then. How ironic is that? Huh? Yeah, irony. Look it up. All right. Okay, now we go to reason number 1,201 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. There's a new law in South Dakota. A new law, I said. Yes, North Dakota, I'm sorry, South Dakota, often confused with North Dakota, quite often. South Dakota is going to require all public schools to prominently display the phrase, "In God We Trust." That's right. The supporters of the law say it's meant to inspire patriotism. Patriotism? In God we trust? Really? I mean, if it said, like, in Trump we trust, in the army we trust, but this says in God we trust. I don't think that's really meant to inspire patriotism. At least that's not how it strikes me. We'll get to how it strikes me. Now, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, as you can well imagine, they condemn the law. They're very upset. They say the motto, "In God We Trust," is inaccurate, exclusionary, and it's aimed at brainwashing American school children. Ah! And a vein in their head pop. It's aimed at brainwashing American school children into believing that our nation is a theocracy. Okay, that's a bit of an overstatement. As we generally expect from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, because their veins are throbbing and popping. It's a theocracy, right? It's a theocracy. Okay. Let's see. Students from Stevens High, yeah, over in Rapid City, they proposed making the motto more inclusive by alternating God with Buddha, Yahweh, and Allah. And they wanted to include terms like science. But the school board took no action on the desires of the kids over at Stevens High to make it more inclusive. I love this. The alternating God with Yahweh. Excuse me, kids. God and Yahweh are the same thing. It just shows you, is this going to do any good? Please. By the way, folks, you may not remember, but In God We Trust first appeared on coins in the United States back in 1864 in the midst of a bloody civil war, when everyone was horrified and terrified, and there were cannonballs and body parts flying around everywhere. And then Dwight D. Eisenhower signed up he adopted it as the country's official motto back in 1956. The Congress voted and the president signed it, and it became the official motto of the United States of America. So riddle me this. Has the trajectory of America gotten better or worse since 1956 when we stamped "In God We Trust" officially on everything? I would say categorically it's gotten worse. In fact, I can't think of any category except technology and convenience where things have gotten measurably better. But what good are those, technology and convenience, when the spirit of your nation is on its way to hell with jet rockets? What good is technological advancement and convenience? So anyway, the moral decline of the country, I mean, you could probably peg a chart right to 1956, and it would be astonishing to watch the bottom drop out. Anyway, folks, here's the thing. When you find yourself having to say aloud that which was beforehand simply understood to be true, you've lost something that is impossible to recover. You've lost something that is impossible to recover. So the day we decided we had to put "In God We Trust" on our money or on the wall of the school is the day we should have realized that that is no longer true. Generally speaking, otherwise we wouldn't have to write it down. We wouldn't have to have a proclamation about it. It would just be understood. So it's sad. So, folks, putting "In God We Trust" on the wall of a public school is just a blatant, brazen lie right in your face. And for all of you gullible parents who think that the school putting "In God We Trust" is a victory, we're winning. As you feed your child into the furnace of the government schools, a furnace for his soul and his mind and his spirit. And for her honor and her dignity, you feed them into the flames.
But the "Having God We Trust" right over the door. We're winning.
All right. And they line up. The parents line up in droves. They'll line up in their cars for 20 minutes to roll up and drop their kid off at the front of that school every day. Just so they can go to work. Or I don't know what. I can't comprehend. I just can't comprehend people. In God We Trust indeed. NBC in Los Angeles reports that police in Irving, Texas yesterday found a newborn baby dead in a trash can inside the restroom of an Applebee's restaurant. They suspect the child was birthed inside the restroom and then placed inside the trash can. Placed? Really? That's an interesting term. I'm sorry. The child was placed in the trash can. The mother then left the location, and at last report is not suspected of being Alyssa Milano. They suspected someone else, but only because Alyssa Milano wasn't in Irving, Texas that day. Otherwise, she would be a suspect. I wonder when it was that Alyssa Milano had her first abortion, and I wonder how many she's had. How could you be that insane about things? How could you be that insanely devoted to killing children unless you'd actually done it yourself? Anyway, so in a society where the murder of innocent children and now the murder of sick and depressed people, that's all legalized now, both ends of the spectrum. Well, it makes it hard in the middle of the spectrum to respect life. And so a mother finds herself in a tight spot, in a difficult situation. Maybe nobody even knew she was pregnant. She's been trying to hide it. So one of the options she has is to kill the child, and this mother selected that option because she's been taught by society and the government schools where, well, I don't know if they have "In God We Trust" over the doorway there in the schools in Irving, Texas, but the government schools taught her. Who knows? Maybe her mom and dad, maybe her grandmother and grandfather taught her that it's, you know, sometimes it's okay to kill someone. And there we go. A child placed in the trash. No, the child was thrown away. The child was tossed in the trash, thrown in the trash. Not placed in the trash. Something about urinalism school, they always try to soften the edges of the guilty. What's up with that? You think that's intentional? I think it's intentional because the urinalist professors are probably, again, a bunch of guilt-ridden liberal people with virtually no talent and no skill who are a net negative contributor to society, and yet they earn more money than they deserve, and I think it drives them crazy. All right, now, should we go to the justice file? Or should we take a break? We'll go to the justice file, where Albert Flick, 77 years old, spent decades in prison for fatally stabbing his wife. And then he got out. Yeah, he got out. In fact, he got out and then he assaulted some other people. And when he was being sentenced for that, the judge took into account his age and gave him a very short jail sentence because the judge said, look, this guy is just too old to be a serious threat to anyone. Eventually, he is going to, quote, age out, unquote, of his ability to harm other people. Uh-huh. That was back in 2010. Well, he's just been convicted of murdering another woman. The murderer who the judge said was too old to be a serious harm, so he let him go. He's just murdered another girl, and now he's been convicted of it. He met Kimberly Dobby and became infatuated with her. He began stalking her and dining at the homeless shelter where she was staying. He then attacked Dobby in broad daylight in front of a laundromat with a knife and stabbed her to death in front of her twin sons. He'll be sentenced in August, and he faces life. The judge who released him faces God. I added that slide. Well, they both face God, but the judge is going to face God on Judgment Day for what he did. And Albert Flick is just another barometer of the collapse of justice in America. And because of this, because of all of this, God is going to take peace from us. And he's not going to do it magically. He's not going to do it overnight. But it is happening right now on a daily basis, and it's just a matter of time before it affects me directly, before it affects you directly, before the violence of a civilization that refuses to kill the guilty, what they do is they redirect that death upon the society at large. They redirect and amplify violence, death, and bloodshed upon the people. And since we're the ones who elected these idiots to lead us, in a sense, we're just getting what we deserve. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Let's go from the hell ceiling over to Sweden. Is it Sweden? Sweden? Indeed. The Swedish city of Gothenburg says they're running low on blood reserves. They've sent out text messages to the citizenry encouraging people to donate blood. And they tell them there's a shortage and the shortage is linked to a wave of stabbings. A wave of stabbings, I said, in the city of Gothenburg. Gothenburg, a Swedish city where so many people are being stabbed, the hospital is running out of blood. And they're having to, they're having to ask citizens to come in and donate blood because deadly knife crimes, according to, where did I get this? From Breitbart, deadly knife crime has increased across Sweden to levels rivaling those of the 1990s. Wow. So peace is being taken. Now, the Swedes, they're one of the most peaceful, loving, socialist, abortionist, homosexualist people on the planet. They're quiet and pale, and they hate God. And they don't have any, they don't, they have a lot of gun control over there in Sweden, but apparently the knife control, they need more knife control. And they need more blood donors because peace is being taken from the Swedes there. Meanwhile, we go to Portland, Oregon, where the mayor there, Mayor Ted, over in Portland, it seems appropriate that the mayor of Portland would be some guy named Ted, right? He's probably wearing a flannel checkered shirt, right? And he's got the hiking boots. Uh-huh. And he's got the burlap pants with the extra pockets all over there so he can keep a pipe in every pocket. Mayor Ted says that he is not responsible for the fact that Antifa has been allowed to run rampant through the streets of his city on a regular basis. He's been under fire, according to Fox News, for the rise of Antifa in Portland. From what I understand, Antifa has an office at City Hall in Portland. That's how comfortable they seem to be with Antifa there. But Mayor Ted says it's not his fault. Now, the mayor of Portland also happens to be the police commissioner, which is why people are saying, hey, Ted, what's going on? You're supposed to be running the police force as well as being the mayor. How come Antifa is allowed to break windows in downtown Portland, set things on fire, and hit people with rocks? What's up there, Ted? He says he denies he was responsible for the lack of policing at the last protest. He says, no, the truth is I wasn't even here. I was in Ecuador on a wildlife tour. There's a command center and There's an incident commander who were here, and certainly the police chief was there, and it wasn't me. I wasn't even here. Okay, Ted, you're the mayor. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to get to say I was in Ecuador. It doesn't matter if you were in Ecuador. You're still the mayor of Portland. Antifa's still rampaging through the streets and beating people up and setting things on fire and breaking things. This didn't just happen while you were in Ecuador, Ted. This has been going on for quite some time. That's why it's becoming such a big deal. And everybody's wondering, what's the deal with the governing officials in Portland? Why don't they arrest Antifa? And Ted's just like, I wasn't even around. Ed, you need to talk to the police chief. There's something wrong with that guy. Get out of here, Ted. Anyway, the mayor of Portland, Oregon, Ted Wheeler, should be arrested. His door should be kicked in by the FBI, and he should be led out of his office with a raincoat over his head and handcuffs, is what should happen to the mayor of Portland, is what should happen. All right, now, speaking of people who should be in handcuffs, let's go to the Supreme Court. We go to the justice file, where CNN is reporting that Ruth Bader Ginsburg really likes Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch. Or is it Gorsuch? I heard him pronounce his name Gorsuch after everyone pronounced it Gorsuch. And then they still pronounce it Gorsuch, even though everyone heard him say Gorsuch. So what's the deal with that? It's just something I noticed, that's all. It's annoying to me. I'm going to call him Gorsuch. Because why? Because he said his name was Gorsuch. With a K sound at the end. Yeah, Gorsuch. That's how he pronounces it. I'm going to go with that. So Ruth Bader loves him. She says, I can say that my two newest colleagues are very decent and very smart individuals. Uh-huh. Yeah, so she says they're very decent and very smart. Ginsburg, who is 86 years old, proving that God is merciful, she says that the nine justices work well together. And she refuted the idea that the Supreme Court is a partisan institution.
Yeah.
That's because they're all leftists. So it's not really very partisan. Ginsburg, you'll remember, ladies and gentlemen, Ginsburg took a break this year from the court after undergoing cancer surgery. 86 years old, she undergoes cancer surgery, and she's still alive. I mean, what are the odds? And this is one of the most evil people who ever lived. She's up there with Mao and Hitler. I mean, she's right up there. God is a very merciful God. Now, why does Ruth like Brett Kavanaugh especially? She really likes Brett Kavanaugh. She says, quote, "There's a very important first on the Supreme Court this term. Justice Kavanaugh, his entire staff is all women. All women. It's the first time in the history of the United States that there have been more women clerking at the court than men." She loves that. Just the fact that there are more women than men. So anyway, I don't understand how like a headcount can get this old bag so excited. Oh, there's more women than men. What does that mean, Ruth? What does that mean, Ruth? Why does that matter, Ruth? I thought we're not supposed to judge each other based on our sex or sexual preference or color or anything. Anyway, just proving that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a lying hypocrite, and Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh are both a couple of liberals that get along with Ruth Bader Ginsburg just fine. Thank you very much. All right, now let's get to Elijah Cummings. All right, so Elijah Cummings is a representative from a district there in Baltimore. One of the most crime-infested, horrible places on the planet is Elijah Cummings' district. That's not been in dispute ever until now because Donald Trump said something. Anyway, so Elijah Cummings. Now, who is Elijah Cummings? Does anybody know? I guarantee you more than half the people, if you ask them who is Elijah Cummings, they would say he's that representative who marched in Selma with Dr. Martin Luther King, and he's a civil rights whatever. But he's not. He's just a lawyer is all he is. He didn't march with anybody in the civil rights movement. He was just a little kid. He wasn't even old enough to drive the car to deliver prostitutes to a Martin Luther King event. He was just a kid at the time. But he's made a whole career acting like he was on the bridge at Selma right there, arm in arm, with Dr. King. And somehow he became a civil rights hero. How did he become a civil rights hero? I have no idea how. He's basically had a tenure over one of the most broken down, destroyed parts of one of the most horrible cities in America, and he's a civil rights hero. Black people are murdered in epidemic proportions in his district. They're robbed, they're raped, they die of drug overdoses, they're poor, they're not educated, and he's a civil rights hero. How did that happen? It shows that godlessness is it produces delusion. Because this guy someone should be looking at this guy saying, "What did you do to your district? What happened here?" It looks like a bombed out section of Beirut. And because Donald Trump called it a rat and rodent infested mess, and that's racist now to say Baltimore is a rat and rodent infested mess. And then he put up a video of rats and rodents in. Now that's racist, right? Point out the rats? I don't know. So apparently this is the tactic. Anytime Donald Trump criticizes someone who's black, they're going to call him a racist. Well, actually, that's not a new tactic. That's been going on for quite some time, but apparently that's going to be the only line that they're going to be able to deploy against Mr. Trump. Basically, the same thing that they do to me and others all the time is anytime you have a disagreement with someone of color, of course it's because you're a racist. Now the rats may or may not be racist, but the one thing is for sure they are in Baltimore. Now we got, what I have a I have a I have a a quote here. Who is this quote from? Is this the mayor or the governor? Oh, this is not very good. Somebody named Scott. I don't know who that. Oh, the city council president, Brandon Scott. He's the Baltimore student council president. And he says, we know that Baltimore and other individuals. I'm sorry. We know that Baltimoreans. I thought it was Baltimoreans. Baltimoreans. Oh, they stick that extra syllable in there so it doesn't sound like Baltimorean. Because if I'm in Baltimore, I'm sorry. It's like the same if I'm in Nigeria. I'm fleeing. I'm anywhere. By any means necessary, I'm getting out of there. But Baltimoreans, they stay there. Baltimoreans, I'm sorry. We know that Baltimoreans and other individuals across the country live in housing that is substandard, and that if President Trump and his HUD director got serious about making that agency work for the benefit of Baltimoreans and people in cities like Baltimore, instead of trying to cut the budget for that agency every year, that change could be made, said Student Council President Brandon Scott in defense of Baltimore, and insisting that the Department of Housing and Urban Development could somehow solve the problems in Baltimore. Excuse me, Mr. Scott. HUD has been around since 1965. You remember it was part of the Great Society. It's been run by Republicans, it's been run by Democrats, and it hasn't solved Baltimore or any of the other myriad of rat-infested dung heaps that are America's inner cities. HUD hasn't solved any of that. In fact, HUD has probably, in the final analysis, been a net contributor to the destruction of those cities. But it's the knee-jerk reaction of people in the student council and people in the Congress to insist that it's the government that can fix Baltimore. You know what can fix Baltimore? Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, he's probably the only one. I mean, they actually need Jesus Christ to physically manifest himself in Baltimore. That's how bad it's gotten. Well, maybe not physically. If he would just be spiritually manifest there by the people, they could probably dig themselves out relatively quickly. But short of intervention by Jesus Christ himself, Baltimore's problem is not going to be solved, and it is a rat-infested dung heap. There's no doubt about that. But what does Nancy Pelosi say? No. She says Elijah Cummings is a champion in the Congress and the country for civil rights and economic justice, a beloved leader in Baltimore, and a deeply valued colleague. That doesn't even sound like Nancy Pelosi. I don't know what happened to me there. I was channeling a civil rights hero. And Nancy Pelosi says, we reject racist attacks against Elijah Cummings. Racist. It's racist to show the rats. All right. Well, if that's the way you want to play it, Nancy, that's fine. But yes, I think we need to start a Jesus for Baltimore campaign, because it's going to take almost divine intervention to fix that problem. All right, now we have reason number 1,202 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. They're in New Jersey, where governing officials over at Memorial High School have yet to commit assisted suicide. And so what they've done is they've allowed a couple of Muslim students to proselytize during the month of Ramadan. That's right, they allowed the students to put up some district-sponsored Ramadan posters. You know, those ever-popular Ramadan posters, yeah. The posters exhorted students to have a blessed Ramadan. Uh-huh. Another poster... this one was a banner. A banner said, May Allah continue to shower you love and wisdom. Oh, we forgot the word with. Oh, that's because we're public school kids. I mean, we're Muslim, but we still go to government school, and we forgot the with, and it's already on the banner. Well, let's hang it up. Most people won't notice. Most people, so they made a grammatical error on their pro-Muslim banner. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. So anyway, is it the Muslim proselytizing that you should be worried about? Probably not so much. Is it the blatantly anti-Christian attitude you should be concerned with? Probably much. Yes, that's it. And the fact that your kids will graduate, or they get into high school, they won't even know how to use grammar properly. That's another concern, but it's the anti-Christian bias that you should be concerned mostly about: the official godlessness, the atheism, the promotion of homosexuality, the promotion of sexual immorality, and then there's, of course, the molestations by the teachers. That's also a concern. In fact, Islam is way, way, way down there on the list, but this was annoying, that's all. Okay, I think that's it. Finally, from the Real Science File, new research suggests that a steady, hearty diet of nuts can sustain mental sharpness and cognition as we age. Yes, the study found that consuming more than 10 grams of nuts per day led to improved mental functioning and thinking. And this is a fairly big study. About 5,000 adults were studied at 55 and older, and the non-nut eaters couldn't think as fast. Now, but listen to this. They say you have to eat a healthy amount is about 10 grams or 2 teaspoons of nuts. Now, nobody can eat just 2 teaspoons of nuts. That's not possible. So I was really glad when I went down and I read through the study and they said, you need to eat more than 10 grams or teaspoon. Now, that I'm totally capable of doing. Now, they said peanuts specifically were singled out as especially helpful. That's sad because that's the lowest of the nuts. Peanuts are not my favorite. Nobody likes it. I mean, when you get the mixed nuts, you're scooping around the peanuts, right? Anyway. All right. That's it for the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at Real Science Radio and at AmericanRightToLife.com and, of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview Studios, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.